Have you ever gotten really discouraged by a challenge that you're facing and just feel like, I can't cope with this, I don't know what to do? Well, you're going to be really inspired by today's guest, Dr. Sherlene Reeves, and her story of journeying from dumpster diving to diamonds. Join us.
Soul Nectar Show, the Soul Nectar Show. You're invited, delighted to discover who you are. Anything is possible if you believe. So join us on this beautiful journey. Soul Nectar Show. Soul Nectar Show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Soul Nectar Show, that show where we talk about all things essence, where we gather around the campfire and we share our stories of connection to that which is bigger than us, to the big mystery, our purpose, why we're here on this planet, on this, you know, rock hurtling through space, what it is we're supposed to be doing, what we're learning, and how we're growing and what we're discovering about ourselves. And we learn so much when we hear other people's stories about their own lives and how they have challenges that they've faced and how they've pulled through it and what they learned. You know, we can learn so much in the encyclopedia of humanity. So I'm your host, Carrie Hummingbird, and I love having these conversations. They always go into really juicy places, and I like to learn. So if you also want to go on a journey of self-discovery and learn about your spiritual path and connect with that, you know, that higher chakras aspect of you, you know, look me up, because I conduct Butterfly Circle, and we go through that transformation process all the way through that messy, icky cocoon, so you can come out the other side as you, unhindered from all the stuff you inherited. So today, my guest is Dr. Sherlene Reeves. Welcome, Sherlene. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much, Carrie. I'm really excited to be here with you. This is going to be wonderful.
I'm excited. So you've been awarded the Exceptional Woman of Excellence 2019 by the Women Economic Forum. That's a big deal. Also a four-time award-winning author, media personality, and motivational speaker who has journeyed from dumpster diving to diamonds. That's intriguing. For 17 years, you were with the CEO of your nationwide California C Corporation, which you bootstrapped from zero to multi-millions with over 23,000 working under you. Wow, that's amazing. You're an international speaker, a web TV host, and a worldwide syndicated podcast host. And Dr. Sherlene specializes in coaching small business entrepreneurs with proven strategies that build global high-income heart-based businesses. Beautiful. So blending the business and the heart, that's mm-hmm. what we need to do here. We need to monetize, and so we can do more heart stuff. So tell me, how did you get started in this path, Dr. Sherlene? How did that happen to you?
Well, it's a true essence of dumpster diving to diamonds.
Okay, that intrigued me when I read that.
Yeah, it's a pretty good story, actually. There was a time when I had two very small boys, and they were 7 and 3, and I was living on the beach in a trailer, in a little tiny 18-foot trailer. And of course, they spent most of the time on the beach, and I only had 15 cents in my pocket at that time. That I had run out of money completely, which is why I was stuck there. I had a truck hooked to the trailer, but I couldn't put any gas in it. It was a big problem. And because we only had 15 cents, we were living pretty much on rice and beans. And I got this message from this person that said, you know, the Safeway down the street has a dumpster out in the back, and it's Tuesday, and they dump their watermelon out there every Tuesday. And I thought, oh, it might be really good to have some watermelon, you know. And I'll tell you, before that, I came from a multi-million dollar home, and I was suddenly just nowhere.
Wow.
Okay, because I was married and I left that husband. And you know, when you leave a husband, you got to kind of be on your own. You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were in that in-between stage where, you know, we hadn't been to court yet, and there was no money coming in. It was really super difficult. And so we went to the dumpster on Tuesday morning. It was 7 o'clock in the morning. And wow, I'm looking down the way, you know, at the people who had crawled out from under the bridge. And I'm thinking, oh boy, I really don't think I fit in with these people. And how ridiculous, because they were doing one person at a time, was diving into the dumpster and pulling out a watermelon. And then they had to crawl back out. And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. Why doesn't just one person go in and just keep handing out watermelons? And Spirit said to me, now you got it. You're a leader. That's how I knew I was a leader. And Spirit just cracks me up a lot of the time. It's like, whoa, you finally got there. And so I said, but how am I going to do this? I don't have any money to pay somebody to take care of the kids. And I got this message that, and then not an audible message, just a knowing type intuitive message, which I've had since I was 5 years old. And the answer to that was, don't worry about it. So I went back to the trailer and the kids were out playing. I could hear them and the seagulls were flying by, and it was so beautiful that day. And I just sat down and I got this huge download, which is what's in my book right here. And I learned to follow that download. And it was so interesting, just as I finished writing all that out, because I really needed clarity on where I was going to go. And that was my first step, was the clarity. Somebody walked up to the trailer who'd been talking to a friend that I'd already talked to and said, you know, I hear you need some help with your boys and I know you need to go to work. What if I just take care of them for you? And I'm thinking, I don't know this person. And so I did a little digging, found out about this person and what friend that she'd been talking to. And she just blessed me with giving her time and took care of the boys so I could go to work. In the long run, you were reading a bit about what happened, but I wasn't working very long. I don't do well working for people. I cry a lot when I'm driving back and forth to work. I just don't do that very well. So I worked enough to get back on my feet, and then I started my own California Sea Corporation doing document signings. And some people know what that is, because I bet people have come to their house to help them with a refinance or a purchase or a sale or something like that. Because I had 23,000 people all over the nation over a period of 17 years. And that's how I went from dumpster diving to diamonds. I went from 15 cents into my pocket to $10,000 a month. So it wasn't a bad deal.
You know what I love about this story is that you not once did you bring up any blaming conversation around your ex. That's not even a part of the story. Like, that doesn't even enter the conversation.
You know,
it's
what?
Because all about you and your journey.
Yeah, because it's not about him. Maybe if I hadn't left him, that never would have happened. But if that had never happened, I wouldn't have had that business and I wouldn't have gotten that download that I needed to have in order to get to that next level. And I strongly believe, Carrie, that we are who we believe we are. If I'd said, oh, I'm poor, I'm broke, it's because of this or that or the other thing, that's what those people in the lineup were doing. It's not what I do. I knew I had built other businesses before and that I could do it again. It was just a matter of getting myself out of that position that I was in at the time. And if you believe you can, you always will.
It's really humbling sometimes the way Spirit sets up these conditions to strip you of everything you had that you know, maybe were attached to or identified as yourself, or, you know, oh, this is me, the stuff in my environment, you know, yes. The status or the stuff or the house or the, talk a little bit about that humbling. What did you get from the humbling?
Our stuff. And, you know, it's interesting that you even asked about that, because I had lived in, you know, over the period when you're making that kind of money, you think you got to spend that kind of money, right? That's the big mistake that everybody makes. And they realize when they get older that all that stuff that they bought, they no longer need. It's not who they are. And when you think of how much money we go out and spend, and then maybe 2 years later say, I'm not interested in this anymore. It might have been $200. It would have been $200 you didn't have to make in the first place. So what I'm saying is that if you think of yourself differently, if you think of yourself as a powerhouse, and the spirit said, you're a leader. I knew I was a leader. And it just takes time to get past that one little experience. You're not going to be there forever if you believe in who you are. You're going to ultimately become the leader or the person that you want to become, just if you believe it in your mind. It's that simple.
If you believe it in your mind, and it's your job to believe it. You know, it's taken me a long time to get to this place because I will admit that I've been on a journey of healing, you know, from my mind, you know, the way my mind was built in my early childhood and throughout my life. And I was in a lot of blame about that, you know, for a long time about, like, whose fault is it that I'm so screwed up, you know? and you know, especially like blaming my mom over the last few years, you know, really, like, as I started really researching psychology and understanding, you know, different things that happen to children's minds and different behaviors, and started going, oh, wow, I have that behavior. Oh, where did I get that from? Oh, you know, and just healing that. And, but I think at some point I started turning it because I was like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's a figment of my imagination at this point because I don't speak with her from her choice, really. And so I'm in this place of like, anything I tell now is just a story. It's just a story of what I think happened. It's just a story of what I think she does or doesn't do. And none of it has anything to do with me. Like, I'm the maker.
What's worse, Carrie, is when you do that, it just, the universe thinks that's what you want. So it keeps giving you more of that rather than giving you the positive side. So I talk to people about this all the time who get on stage and they tell their big, grim story. There's a person that I've kind of been following that tells a Lebanon story. I told her, I said, if you keep telling that story, you're going to keep getting more and more of that man that is causing you that problem. And that's exactly what's happened. So we have to shift our story and own it. We have to own it. It's not about anybody else. It's about the perspective that we take on of what happened to us. Because my childhood wasn't easy either. It really wasn't. And I had to overcome that too. But it's all in our perspective. It's all in what we think about in our mind over and over. And if we try to place blame, then we got a lot longer to learn.
Yeah, because what I, you know, this download I got one time recently about this, Charlene, was, you know, you play cards, right? And you're holding your cards. Mm-hmm. And I woke up in like early wee morning with this visual. And my guides were telling me, Carrie, you know, cards, because I like to play cards. But you have this whole hand of cards. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, how many cards are in your hand? And I was like, like 25 or 30. And they're like, those are each karma cards. Those are yours. You think someone needs to apologize to you for something. You think somebody needs to say, I'm sorry. And so that's not in their hand. Notice it's in yours. And then I was like, whoa. And then my guys were like, yeah, and life is Uno. I was like, what? Life is Uno? That means you've got to go out. Like, you don't want to have any cards left in your hands. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh man. Okay. So I started going, okay, forgive this and forgive that, forgive this, because I don't want any cards in my hand. Like, I don't want to be holding on to that. I want to play Uno. I want to like be free. I want to be free to be me.
Mm-hmm. And that's all about what I share is how to become free. And let me tell you a little secret. You want to know a little secret?
Yes.
I really haven't shared this anywhere else. One of the ways that you can become free, and I learned this from Robert Allen when I was 28 years old, and I was so honored to be able to interview him a couple of years ago and actually be in his library with all these books. But he taught about multiple streams of income. And at 28, I read that book. That was when he published it. I thought, okay, so how can I live my life of freedom in the future? I don't want to be working so hard. I don't want to have to work ever again for anybody else. What do I do? And so what I've learned is, and this is what I want to share with you, is that if you set up just four streams of income, you'll be in great shape later on. I'm working because I love to work. It's not because I have to work, because I have those four streams of income. I know I can do anything, go anywhere. And if one drops off, I've got three more, right? And I can always put another one back from somewhere. So if you want the freedom that you're talking about, make sure that you have the money to provide that freedom so you can travel and do whatever you want to do, because that's what life is really all about. Instead of spending your money on $200 worth of stuff you're going to get rid of in 2 years, think about where your money is going to come from, because then you don't have a big pile of money that you have to have. You just have a stream coming in all the time.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I would say what I've learned about stuff is that it clogs up the space, and it's like a lot of energy to keep having to generate more, to have more stuff, mm-hmm. and to do, you know, to go out and eat out and stuff like that. I got very humble on this path of becoming a healer because I was determined to do this full time. I could not stand doing the stuff I was doing before, which is high tech, you know, like computer nerd stuff and like sitting and documenting API references.
See, that would make me cry.
That's not me. Okay. Like I hate that. And I did it. I'm really good at it, but I didn't want to do that anymore. I did that for 20 years and I didn't want to suffer anymore. What I can't understand, Dr. Charlene, is like people who like they do the job that they their skin crawls going into it and they got to sit there all day and they're half dead. Like literally one point I walked into my office, I worked remote. And so I was working full time for this company in California and I walked into the office and I'd just been back from Peru. So I was all lit up, you know, I was full. I just been with the shamans doing energy medicine and I was like beaming, you know, I was like a lighthouse. And I walk in and everyone's like they're, I saw them like batteries were like, mm-hmm. like they were like this, like if this is the whole battery, they were like here.
Yep.
They were dim. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to be like that. I'm not doing that. Uh-uh. I'm getting out of this technology field, which is soul sucking, and I'm getting into something I love, and I'd rather sacrifice, like, you know, whatever, like big vacations or whatever for the time being, you know. I'm getting into the space now where those are going to happen for me, so I'm going
on with this here. Awesome.
So the pendulum has swung back, but it's like that initial commitment to the new direction, it takes force. Like you actually have to apply yourself. You've got to go up the mountain to forge the new path. You can't just sit back and say, I wish it would happen. Right? I mean, so yes. how does one convert into that new mentality where like the passion thing is more important than the stuff and the willingness to put the effort in to claim responsibility for it and not blame other things?
Napoleon Hill says, and I love what he wrote about this. He said that we live in a world of mesmerism. We really do. We just watch the news all the time. We get upset about everything that's going on, even though there's nothing we can do about it. And we just keep doing the same thing every day, every day, every day, going to work. Not we, I don't, but a lot of people do. And then you get to the point where money is all there is. Okay, so like when I published my book, everybody said, oh, well, how much money did it make? Well, for me, my book is about the message that I provide within it. And it's a calling card. It's just a very expensive calling card is what it is, with a great message. But life is not all about the money. Life is about taking the time to be with friends, taking the time to be with family, taking the time just to travel a little distance if you can't afford a lot. Don't get stuck on the money. Even when I won the award, the Exceptional Woman of Excellence, I got a comment that said, well, how much money did that make you? It's not about that. It was based on what I'd done for others and how much I care about others and the leadership that I provide. It's not about the money. And when you get to the age that I'm at, then you find out that it's about living your life, because you don't know how much life at any time in your life you've got left. So if you're just doing the job because you got to have the money and you're putting it in your 401k or your IRA, you saw what the market did, it tanked. And people will say, oh, you know, it'll all come back. No, because their money was cut out on the bottom end when it went down today. They can't, the money's gone. They can't gain and get back to where they are now. So they've got to think about how to protect the money that they do make. And they've also got to think about living the life they want to live now, not later.
Yeah, now, not later. A lot of people have this idea of retirement. Oh, when I retire, then I'll get to do something. And you know, I've had people in my own family line who, like my grandpa, he had that idea. Oh, we'll go out in the camper. And so they had this camper and stuff. We're going to go in the camper when I retire. And you know what? Like 2 years after he retired, he got heart failure and he had all these surgeries. And you know, and now he can't go traveling like that. Mm-hmm. So nine years ago, I got the message from Spirit. That's the end of the rope. And the end of the rope is like, leave your marriage. Like this whole paradigm is not working. Time for the next phase. Like get out of there, get going. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I had no idea that I was going to become this. That was a surprise and a delight, but you know, like I'm enjoying my life now. It's so great.
I know.
But at the time, you know,
it shows on your face.
I'm happy. I'm like a little kid again, you know, but at the time I did that. And then I was starting to get into, energy medicine. And I was like telling my family, I've got to go study energy medicine. I have to go to Peru. I got to study with the shamans. I got to do all this. And my mom was like, you don't do that. You're supposed to take care of the boys and like only do that. And like, you know, and do that when you retire, you just like work. And I was like, what am I teaching them if I just do that? What am I teaching my kids if I just hunker down in something I hate to like make them happy for what if I stayed in the marriage that I'm not happy in? What am I teaching them by doing that? I'm teaching them, oh, suffer for others. Mm-hmm. And then when everybody's out, then you can live, but you can't. That's a lie.
It's the way it used to be though, Carrie. It's my parents were all about just work and being loyal to the company. And now the millennials are very, very different. They're loyal to their friends. They're loyal to their families. And they're very loving people. They have a hard time holding a job.
Yeah, they do. I've got one in my living room.
There you go. See? So, you know, that's the thing. They have a hard time holding a job because they aren't that dedicated. And I would think they're the first ones that are going to jump into what it is they really love to do because that's what makes them happy. And they're all about what makes them happy, right?
Well, they're all about what makes them happy. And what I've also noticed is that with my son anyway, my oldest, is that he's the words he said to me was, because he took a job at Walmart, which is probably not the wisest thing. But anyway, that is no longer now for obvious reasons. But he said to me, Mom, they don't respect me. And I'm not going to disrespect myself because they want me to. I'm not going to disrespect my body. I can't lift a 50-pound bag onto a shelf for an hour straight. I need a little bit of rest for my body. I need to multitask. I need to go do something lighter. And I know what my body needs. They want me to keep lifting. That's disrespecting myself, and I'm not going to disrespect myself. So, and on one level, I was really proud of my son because he's not going to disrespect himself. On the other level, I'm also like, okay, well, let's get a job that respects you because like you need to be making some money and like move out. But you know, this is that quandary. It's like, can we hold space for our, because this is the first generation, I think, that from the beginning knows that they're worth it. That from the beginning, mm-hmm. they know that they don't need to be treated like slaves. From the beginning, they know they need to be respected. That's a beautiful thing. So now our society needs to come along with them instead of expect them to go backwards into the dark ages.
Mm-hmm. But then what will the corporations do? Because they won't have the employees that they need to keep going. And you know, that's the crack the whip thing, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people are it depends on the personality type too. That's another thing I talked about in the book, because some personality types have an easier time not working for other people, and other personalities really need that because they don't have enough belief in themselves that they're going to be able to make a difference in their lives or in the lives of others. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's the healing part. It's like that. I think the most important part from my own journey, what I would say, what I've learned in my life so far, I'm 50, is heal yourself.
You look like you're 20.
First, see? Heal yourself first. Like that's the first thing. Like get yourself healed to the place where you're confident in yourself, you know your self-worth, and you love yourself. And then you can do a lot of things from that space. I think that's the most important thing. And then you get yourself set on a trajectory in life that's actually going to be very beneficial to you. It's going to be aligned with who you are, and who you are might change and evolve. But I think you get that alignment. Once you have that down the first time, you can get back to it if it changes, you know, because I think alignments shift over time as we get older. But mm-hmm. once you know how to get aligned, you can do it again.
But you know what, Carrie, you made a really good point. When you said they need to learn to love themselves, that is a big challenge, probably with 90% of the population. Because, and I talk about this in sales, you know, people have such a hard time selling because they're told no almost their whole life. Everything is a no. No, don't touch the table. No, don't touch the stove. No, don't ask me for money. I'm not giving you any candy. No, no, no. And they're so afraid of that no because it goes along with discipline. That's why they have such a hard time in their businesses selling. It all comes from that upbringing of no. And there's a lot of it. A lot of it. You know, I was talking to a teacher the other day, and she's putting frowny faces on kids' papers, red frowny faces on kids' papers. Wow. And I said, I can't believe you're doing that because children look to your face for approval.
Yes.
And you're giving them all disapproval. So how do you expect it to get better? I don't get that. And I think a big part of our problem is the school system. I was talking about this the other day because they're not allowed to be creative. They're still supposed to be little soldiers in line. They're still supposed to do exactly what they're told to do. The creativity can't come out that way. It's not set up for that. But then think about the government. They just want everybody to go to work so that you pay taxes, right? Because those of us who are entrepreneurs have write-offs. We get to write a bunch of stuff off and keep money in our pocket. So that's why the government keeps up with the way that they do things. And that makes people afraid to leave their businesses that they're working in and start their own. They don't have enough confidence.
They don't have enough confidence. And let's just say it's easier to manage a population of unconfident people who are afraid to take risks and work 9 to 5 or 10, you know, 9 to 9 every day that yes. don't have any energy to do anything else. It's very easy to manage a population like that, because a population like that probably wouldn't even have the energy to say, like, get involved in politics and pick a good candidate for that would be actually beneficial for them. They'd That's have like right. no energy left to do anything outside of like take care of themselves and get a meal and some exercise maybe. Mm-hmm. So you got to start thinking about these things and not want to be part of the system, you know, like wants to control you and make you into some kind of slave. I would call myself a rebel, but then I had a broadcast where she called herself a frontiers woman. And I like that better. I'm a frontier.
Oh yeah.
Woman.
That's a good one.
I'm a frontiers
woman. And by all means, Carrie, question authority.
I always question authority, which drives mm-hmm. my mom batty, but I do, mm-hmm. I question it.
Mm-hmm. And you notice in the airports, they've got everybody so controlled just by our primary colors, right? It's a red day. It's a yellow day. I'm like, when are we ever going to see green?
Well, you know, I actually thought about that, Charlene, because recently I had an experience where I went through the TSA check and I had a Victoria's Secret bra on. Don't do that, people. Don't do that ever. Don't do that. It has wires all over the place. Yeah. So I walked through there and it's the only thing I had on under my shirt. I was like, this woman literally had to pat my breasts all across the top and around and everywhere. And I was like, can I just lift my shirt and show you? It'd be easier. You know, I'd rather do that than have you be feeling me up. And then she had to do it twice.
Oh.
And it was all like this, I realized it was all this conformity. Like, I suddenly realized that all of this TSA checking is just the fear stuff. It's just like the coronavirus fear and all this kind of stuff too. Mm-hmm. It's all a bunch of fear to get you to be afraid, to get you to stay home, be quiet, get in line, give us all your stuff, let us go through everything. You know, they actually don't have the right to go through all your stuff. It's not exactly legal that they're doing that. And they get away with it because everybody goes along with it because they all think that they need to be safe to get on the plane. So everybody opens their bags and says, sure, inspect everything. Whereas that's really actually not legal. So there's a lot that I researched and realized after my, you know, because it took me getting felt up, to get angry enough about it to go research it.
Maybe next time you should just enjoy it.
thank
you so much. Do that some more.
The thing is, and then they think that like they're going to give you like the same sex person to fill you up, and that's okay. And I'm like, don't you know there's lesbians? That's really not, you know, like it doesn't. You can't tell by somebody's gender like who they prefer. So how do you know that that person's not attracted to me sexually, and then they're filling me up? So you don't actually know anything, about people's preferences just by what they look like or what body they're in. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You can't classify people. so
much for Victoria's Secret.
I'm telling you, I'll never do it again. I love that bra, but I will not wear it through an airport. So I started wearing this all cotton one. It was like all cotton, nothing fancy, just like a cotton pullover.
That's what I do too.
No wires
and
at all.
I make it part of the shirt, you know.
Exactly. So, you know, but this is control. I realized standing in line there, Charlene, that they're actually programming us by this TSA thing. They're programming everybody to expect to be searched.
Even
though we don't have to do that on the freeway right now, you're programming people to expect to be searched at every airport, every time you travel. That's a mental conditioning that's happening in the populace.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to think where that goes. It doesn't go anywhere I'm going, because I'm going in the freedom plane, okay? Like, I will not be searched. I'll get my own damn plane if I have to. But I will not be controlled by others. And I think that this, you know, this really is, we have to have that inner confidence. That same thing. I feel like everybody needs to be an entrepreneur of their own life. They choose what they're going to do.
I agree. Yes, an entrepreneur of your own life. I love that. And if you have enough guts to do a business, you'll get to pay almost nothing in taxes so that you can travel and live your life and really enjoy it. It's just that simple. And stop wasting money on $200 things that you got to throw away in 2 years. It just doesn't work right. And we're supposed to, as you know, we're supposed to be out spending all the money that we make to keep the economy going, right? So
that's
much, sometimes they even gives us checks to do that, right?
Exactly. Well, think about who spends the most money, women or men?
I don't know.
I think the last time I checked the statistics, it was women are the big buyers. Women are the ones who spend money in the economy. So if we're the ones who spend money in the economy, shouldn't we be the ones who decide what to promote and what to not promote, what to, you know, how to use our dollars for our own value systems and our own desires and our own things that we think are important? I mean, this is one way of feminine leadership.
Mm-hmm. And if you would think, okay, so I'm going to lay this money down, and how many hours am I going to have to work to make that money again?
Do I want to
think about it? Even in the market.
Yeah.
Think about how long they've been gifting the market. Market's just gambling. I've been in finance for so many years and I'm sick of it. I don't want to talk about it much anymore. Because people just aren't, they don't get it. They just don't get it. Okay, I'm going to buy this thing for $200 and I'm going to have to make another $200. I'm going to gift my money into the market because I believe it's going to go up, but it's always going to tank at some point, and then you got to start all over again. So what I'm trying to say is, if you have to put it in a 401k, put it in a savings. Don't let it go down the tubes, or put it in an annuity so it doubles over time. But don't let them have the control of your money. People say they give their money away and look the other way. Literally, they don't even look at what's going on with their account.
Yeah, they go to sleep on it. They think they choose and I was guilty of this too, choose like some mutual funds or whatever, like, okay, this one's good, and then shoop, and then ignore it, right? Like, oh, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I know. And my favorite people are the ones who are 65 and they go, oh, I'm in the market for the long haul. I go, your long haul is over. It's done.
Yeah, you have another 10 or 20.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's a young
attitude.
They just
don't get it.
You got to love it though, because inside they're like still 20.
Yes. They think
so
they are.
So I am too. Yeah. So I feel that way too. You know, this is why I took on an entrepreneurship, Charlene, where I get to talk with people because I figure I can probably talk to people till the day I'm like 100 and croak, you know?
Absolutely. So that's why I love to work. I'll never retire. I'll work as long as I possibly can because I'm supporting people in moving to that next level. And that's really, really what I love to do because I love to see them fly. So many of my clients have TV shows and podcasts and I just can't believe it. It's just such a blessing to see them do so well.
And get their messages out there and be strong and empowered and set a good example for others.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's great.
And you know, we think, it was kind of interesting. I was in a Facebook group the other day. It's all authors and speakers. And you know, we all think, oh, there's everybody, we're saturated. Everybody's an author and a speaker, but it's not. It's just because we hang out in that area. So that's what we think. But if you get your message out there, like Carrie, you're doing great with this show and you're getting your message out, you're sharing with people important information. And I really commend you for that. That's awesome. Keep up.
Yeah,
the
whenever
good
I hear people are like, I love listening to Soul Nectar Show. And I was like, that's mine. Oh, that's cool. I'm so glad
there
you like
are.
It.
See?
That makes me feel good. Yay. Well, I try to give good guests and good conversations and good content. So thank you for being on the show and sharing your awesome content with us. So
you're welcome.
How do people work with you? What's a way to get started with finding out more about you and the work that you do?
Well, you can always go to my website, charlenereeves.com. That's so simple. And if you want me to speak for your group, it's bookcharlene.com. So simple. And I would love to just talk to people. So there's a form you can fill out right on the homepage, and I'd love to chat with you and see if there's anything that I can share with you out of my plethora of information.
That's
that
awesome.
Might help you move forward.
Well, you know, I bet that you're still going to travel, aren't you?
Oh, I'm heading towards Scotland this summer.
Yeah, and that trip is going to happen regardless of whatever else is going on, right? It's like,
oh, I don't care. I just came back from Europe mid-December because I was over speaking in London. That was a phenomenal experience. And I thought, since I'm here, I'll go to Wales and I'll go to Ireland. And that's exactly what I did and came home just before Christmas. So I'm itching to go. I can't wait.
Yeah, back out there in the fray, visiting countries, new experiences, living your life without fear.
Yep. And I do everything in the morning on my show. The Heart-Based Business Show is on at 9 a.m. because it's 5 in London. So when I go over there, I know I can do it.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah, I have everything
Very
I do
clever.
Is in the morning.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful, Dr. Shirley, and I really love that. Well, I really enjoyed our conversation today. I hope that it was of value to everybody out there. Is there anything last thing you want to offer before we wrap?
You know, I just want to say, live your life. Live it now. Don't wait till you're older. And put those 4 streams of income together so that you have peace and freedom. That's all you need. You don't need a pile of money. All you need is 4 streams of income, and then you can live your life like I do, peacefully traveling around the world.
That's gorgeous. Yes, streams of income, not piles of stockpiled money. That's awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for that. And okay, everybody, now, you know what I'm going to ask you now? I'm going to ask you a favor. Can you please comment and like and share this episode out so that other people get to find it? You found it valuable. Other people might find it valuable too, and we want them to have the information. So we appreciate on iTunes or YouTube or wherever you are, just, you know, click like, click share, give us a good 5-star rating, and help us to be found more places by more people. And now we're going to give kisses. So I give everybody kisses on the way out. Would you like to join me for kisses?
I'd love to.
Okay, here they come.
Here we go.
Here they come. Love you, everybody.
Namaste.
See you next time on Soul Nectar Show. Bye for now.
To dive in deeper to nourishing conversation, visit soulnectar.show.
Soul Nectar Show. Awake.
can wait to take a sip from the drip of nectar from the source of who you are.